Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about your life and we talk about your money. Of course, we're all doing things with money every day. Some things are good, some things are bad, and then some things are, well, they go into the category of not so brilliant. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How can we get better? Not just better for better's sake, but how can we become better stewards, better managers of everything that God has given us? The definition of true stewardship is managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. More about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out and check out the section right in the top right-hand corner that says Chris Recommends. There is a ton of resources there for you. This is a call-in show, so feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. I did want to let you know before we take our first call about another resource that's available to you if you're a leader. You're a leader in church or you're a leader in business. I have a podcast that's called the Leadership Momentum Podcast, and it can be found on iTunes. I want to encourage you to check that out. I sit down and I have a conversation with the most respected church leaders in the country today, and we talk about hot topics. We talk about basic leadership challenges that the church has and other organizations have. And I've interviewed folks like Craig Rochelle out in Oklahoma City, Robert Morris down in South Lake, Texas. Henry Cloud would be another one, Dr. Henry Cloud. Perry Noble there in South Carolina, Todd Mullins down there in West Palm Beach, and several others. And it's just really intriguing conversations. These guys are brilliant. And that's a monthly podcast, and I want to make sure that you feel invited to check it out and to subscribe. Again, you can find that at iTunes. It's called Leadership Momentum Podcast. Again, we're taking your calls today. And the number is 866-357-3283. Our first call comes in from Sacramento, California. This is Stephanie. Stephanie, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
I'm calling because I have a question. My husband and I bought a home a few years back that we have a mortgage on. It's roughly $285,000 that we owe on it. We also have revolving debt of $60,000. And my question is, we also have a residential lot that we have had listed for sale for the past 8 months. We've had no people interested in it. And we also have HOA on the property. And I'm wanting to know or looking for suggestions on how we can go forward with trying to sell the lot, or if you think we should just kind of hold on to it. And if we do sell it, it will be definitely at a loss. And if we can, you know, claim that loss.
How much is it worth?
Roughly $8,000. And we bought it for $22,000, paid cash 14 years ago. Mm. We've had it listed for $11,900 and have no offers in the past 8 months.
Wow. And what's the reason for the decline?
I think just the market. And now a lot of people, they're just buying homes versus lots.
Huh. When did you buy it?
In 2001.
How do you know it's worth $8,000? Just
well, that's just my rough guesstimate. I'm working with a realtor, and I had him send me all of the listings, and they range from $4,500 up to $30,000. And we've had our listed for $11,900 for the past 8 months, and we've had no offers, no bites. And then, like I said, there's also my huge concern is the HOA. The HOA is $1,200 a year.
Yeah. Is there some kind of major eyesore? Is it like power lines, or is it a bad lot?
No, it's a third of an acre. It's a flag lot. It's in a residential community. It's got a lot of, you know, great things going for it. It's flat. It's ready to go. It's just, like I said, I notice a lot of people are buying homes versus the lots to build. I think if someone's interested, it's probably going to be more of a contractor.
Yeah.
And it's been a great community. It's, you know, gated community, beautiful, but I don't know which direction to go. We've held on to it for so long. We have a total, probably, I want to say, 36,000 if you, you know, into it.
Yeah.
The 22 we paid cash and then the HOA every year.
Wow. How much other debt do you have?
We have roughly $60,000 in revolving debt, credit card and car payments, and then the house, our mortgage, which is $285,000.
And what's your income?
$160,000.
It really is not going to change your world if you sold it for $8,000. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
Which is more important to you, the loss, which hurts, I know, and it hurts the ego too, or just getting it out of your life?
For me personally, it's getting it out of my life. I know for my husband, it's the loss.
Yeah.
For sure, because we've kind of gone back and forth on it. I feel like we'll never get the money back. When we initially bought it, which is 2001, it went up to $100,000, which is great. But we never relocated to that area, so we just sat on it. And then, obviously, you know, the market crashed. So now we're back to, you know, it's hard to just give them away. My concern is that if we were to donate it to a charity or foreclose, we're still on the hook for that HOA, from what I understand. I mean, I don't think you can get around that. So,
well, if you donate it, what you're doing is you're changing ownership. So whoever you donate it to, whoever accepts the donation is accepting everything that's tied to that parcel.
Okay.
Until the formal transfer of ownership change, you would be on the hook for the HOA. But as soon as formal ownership's over, then it's done. It's not you. You're not tied to it at all. So if it's a formal donation, that means that they now own it.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about that. So $8,000 in your life is not going to move the needle. It's not a big deal either. But I can see how, you know, the HOA dues are not really going to move the needle for you. They're not a huge deal either. There could be an argument to weigh it out until the next cycle. I can totally get that. The key here is that you got to take the personal out of it. You just got to ask yourself financially. And I would be more concerned about the $60,000 you have in revolving debt.
Correct.
More than I would be about this parcel. I think the aggressiveness and the focus needs to be over there. But okay. if selling it at $8,000 is going to allow you to pay off that $60,000, you guys have just cut your losses, I have no problem with that. Personally, in my life, I'm going to lean towards being aggressive on this. If you've already gone through a cycle and you're already on the downside already, and you want to get rid of it, and you don't even, let's say if it were to rebound in 8 years and it was going to go back to 22,
right?
Would you really want to go through those 8 years to get back to 22? I don't hear that you would.
No.
I hear that you just want out of it regardless. And you'll just make up, because you guys can generate revenue. You guys are good at generating income. So you just make up your $14,000 loss another way.
Correct.
But I lean towards being more aggressive. So if you guys are not on the same page on that, just meet in the middle. Say, we're going to get a CMA. It looks like you already have. Maybe fine tune that CMA. It's a little bit broad.
Okay.
That's too big of a range. I'd like to see something from like 8 to 15 and you guys choose one, or if it's like from 7 to just something that's a little bit more tuned in a little bit. That's too broad. You got too many comps in there. And then put a game plan in of, okay, so after a month, we're going to go down to X, and after 2 months, we're going to go down to X, or whatever it is, 3 months, 4 months. But you guys agree with a plan beforehand, so that's not emotional at the time of dropping. You guys already chose. So that's kind of how I would compromise in the middle.
Okay. And then as far as if we do take a loss, which we will, do you know the ramifications in regards to, writing that off?
Yeah, you can write it off.
Writing off the loss.
Yeah, just like you, capital gains, you have capital losses. So it's a,
okay.
Yeah, it's a, you have to talk to your accountant on that, on how that works. But yeah, I've had several losses if you know anything about my testimony, I've had tons of losses in the past.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's encouraging to you. I lost a lot more than $14,000.
Well, true. And it's encouraging in the sense that you've experienced it firsthand. So, you know, your opinions, you know.
Yeah,
value, so.
Yeah. I took losses all those 3 years when I was paying on vacant homes. It was brutal. Actually, those losses, from a deduction standpoint, I was very thankful for them. But in the big scheme of things, I was losing way more.
right. Okay.
But Stephanie, cool. We appreciate the call. And hey, check back in with us. Let us know what you decided to do. And if your real estate broker is maybe just not getting the job done, maybe it's a broker problem. Of course, you know, I'm going to recommend check out our ELPs. We love them. So.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Our next call comes in from Mike. He's calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Mike, how are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Good to hear. Well, I have a very simple question for you.
Okay.
My wife and I never make any major financial decisions unless we agree.
Good.
And I have in an IRA a little bit over $100,000.
Okay.
I would like to spend some of it, I'd say $35,000-$40,000 over the next 10 or 15 years to travel, to do things, to have experiences. My wife would like to keep it where it is and use as little as possible and probably have the rest as what she calls a legacy for our children when we pass away. So we have a little disagreement here.
Yeah.
It's friendly, but the vote is 1-1, so we don't have a resolution.
Yeah.
And in that case, we do nothing. And I told her that I would try to seek expert advice outside of our own long-formed opinions just to get a fresh view of what somebody else might do.
Yeah, maybe it's just a third-party voice or just some fresh eyes can ask some questions, and maybe that'll shed some light on things. What is your current income?
$72,000 a year.
And is that going to be pretty fixed throughout retirement?
It is.
Okay. Are you having a tough time paying your bills at $72,000, or you guys got lots of discretionary?
Well, I think we do have a lot of discretionary. My wife manages to squirrel away money into different funds. We have like a vacation fund that's $400 or $500 a month that she puts away. Our indebtedness is very small. We only owe a total of $15,000. Our house is paid off. We have a small home improvement loan, a few months left on the car.
Okay.
So in that regard, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Do you have any savings?
Local savings, about $2,000, $3,000.
And do you have any other investments besides your IRA?
Well, my wife has a policy that's going up and down with the market, but it's only worth about $10,000.
And you guys are how old?
I'm 65. My wife's 65. Now, one of my arguments is, and I don't mean to be morbid, but the men in my family generally lived to 75, 79.
Okay.
And I think I have God willing, a limited amount of time left that I would like to do things a little bit.
Yeah. See, I think there's, the amount that you're talking about, it's only $3,500 a year. It's about $3,500 a year. You want $35,000 over 10 years. You guys could budget that. You could get that without pulling from your IRA. You make $72,000 a year, and you guys can just budget for that. Why can't you just live on 68? And there's your $3,500 right there. You've got your money. I don't think you need to pull from your IRA. I think, go on vacation. You guys have worked hard. Enjoy it. But I don't think you have to pull from your IRA to do it. And she obviously has a security gland. Women have a security gland inside. Men want respect, and women want security when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to finances. And so obviously that security gland is kind of like pulsating right now, because really the $100,000 in your IRA is not a lot. It's not a lot at all. It's only 1.5 years of living.
I recognize that. And I certainly wouldn't consider, using any of it if I didn't think I had a solid base income outside of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should enjoy your money. I think you there's nothing wrong with that at all. I just think you guys need to do a budget on 68. And then $4,000 a year, have fun. Go on some great trips, maybe $4,000 trips or $4,000 trip, but enjoy it. But I'd wait 9 months until you do anything, until all your debt's paid off, and then I would budget for vacations. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But please, I would not. I'm with your wife. I would not pull from the
IRA.
All
right. Okay? Well, she'll be glad to hear that.
And I know that you got a level head. You have a level head, and you can see it both ways. And I think that's great that you asked. And from a third party's perspective, though, that $100,000 in IRA seems a little low. So I would make sure you protect it. Okay.
Well, thank you kindly. I appreciate the clarity. I really do.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, folks, they're obviously in a stage of life where they're talking about leaving money to the next generation. How fun is that? And I just love what I just heard. It was a very healthy dialogue. That's healthy, folks. It's not healthy when one just says yes to everything. It's not healthy when there's fights over everything, but that was perfect. They both have their own opinion as individuals, but they both want to work together. That's as good as it gets. and they want to leave a legacy. Both of them do. She happened to verbalize it and do it one way, but he wants to leave a legacy too, and that's really, really cool. Now, you heard us talk about legacy a lot, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I want to let you know about Dave Ramsey's latest book. It's called The Legacy Journey. I want to encourage you to check it out. That book, it tackles some of the tough issues, like what does the Bible really say about money? What about wealth? And how much is enough for your family? You'll also learn in that book how to live and leave a legacy for your family. The Legacy Journey is an incredible book. I love it. I've read it cover to cover. I've taken notes. I've highlighted through it. It's tremendous. It's completely laced with scripture. So to learn more about it or to buy it, visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com under the section Chris Recommends.
Thank you for listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Of course, the phone number is 866-357-3283, and you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Jessica. She says, I am new to both Dave Ramsey and to God, and am trying to find my way. I'm on baby step two and find listening to both shows, your show and Dave's show is what she's saying, encourages me and reminds me why I need to get my finances and life in order for a greater cause. I love that part. One major hurdle I'm facing in making a big jump towards finding a job with better income is my overwhelming sense of regret over many of my past life decisions. I'm making some good strides, but do feel a little overwhelmed by regret and feel like this is holding me back. Chris, how can I get past this? Any insight would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your effort and for your teachings. Jessica, you need reminded of what the scripture says. And maybe you're a listener and you're tuning in right now and you need reminded too. Maybe you've got regrets in your life. Psalm 103 verses 11 through 13 talk about this very thing. The Bible says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That means the things that we have done wrong, he has removed them. He's forgiven us. It goes on to say, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Jessica, you needed that reminder. As far as the east is from the west, and you need to remove it that far from your life as well. Our God is not a God of casting regrets in our life. That's not God. God is a God of forgiveness. And he wants us to repent. He wants us to turn from our ways. He wants us to go the other direction. He wants us to follow after him, but not live in regret from our past. That should have nothing to do with how hard you run after a job. You need to get after it. And your past should not hold you back. I just tweeted this the other day. I actually posted it on Facebook as well. Thank you to those of you that that stay connected throughout the week on social media. My handle is Chris Brown on Air. But I posted this. It's actually from Brené Brown, a great person to follow who will keep you very, very encouraged in this particular area. But she posted this, and I wanted to make sure that I relayed it. She says, the most dangerous stories we make up are the narratives that diminish our inherent worthiness. We must reclaim the truth about our lovability, divinity, and our creativity. Jessica, your past is the past. Get moving on. Get after it. What is your passion? Find out what that passion is and go after it with all your strength. You got this. Again, the phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. This call comes in from Salt Lake City. This is Kate. Kate, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
How can I serve you?
So I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
So my husband and I are 34 years old, and we bought a home right at the peak of the economy in 2008, 2007, right before it crashed.
Okay.
And we had equity, put it down. We're doing great. I was pregnant, got the home, and then he lost his job shortly after that. So we have, long story short, we have $50,000 of debt from him going back to school to get a master's degree, and then also just living expenses until we could sell that home. And then we were able to walk away, luckily, but we lost all our equity, but walked away. So fast forward to now, we just bought another home 2 years ago, and we still have that $50,000 of debt. But my husband's doing a lot better now. We're doing great. We're able to live within our means. We don't have credit cards, car payments, anything like that. And we did this house all ourselves, came in. It's an older home, and totally revamped it, remodeled it ourselves. And because of that, there's probably about $50,000 or $60,000 of equity in it. So I am so done with debt that I would, well, we both are, that I would love to sell this home and start over again and pay every single dime of debt off. And because the interest rates are so low, get into another house at zero with nothing in on it, or 0% equity or whatever it is. Or I'm wondering if we should take the $50,000 that we would make from this home when we sell it and put it down on another home.
What's your income?
So our income now is $70,000.
What lifestyle are you living? Are you living a $70,000 lifestyle, a $100,000 lifestyle, or
$50,000? No, so we do really good. We budget and together, and we both are in charge of certain things. And but it's tight. We have four kids. There's six of us on $70,000. And there's definitely never extra. We barely make it, or we're about $100,000 above each time. But the hard thing is... my husband would love to have savings. I would love to have savings, but we pay $600 a month towards that debt, which is great. But I am very sick of the kids can't do sports. The kids can't do, you know, and he is too. A house to me is not worth any of this stress that we still live by every month of, you know, can I get fruit at the grocery store? Can I get, you know, and so I would love to just be done. I feel like we've prayed for years and years, help us pay off this debt. I feel like selling this home would be the answer to that prayer of, here's $50,000, pay it all off and start over. I'm just not sure if that's the right thing to do.
Who's the lender? Who are you making payments to?
We actually just refinanced it.
Okay.
And because we had nothing down on it, we're still paying quite a bit of money on a home that's pretty small and pretty, I feel like we're paying a lot. And we actually rent out the basement. We turned the basement into a rental apartment to give us a little bit more income, mm-hmm. just so we could put even more towards debt.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would love to do again, is buy a home that's a little bit bigger that we can fit, not crazy bigger, not go still within our budget, but then have another rental property in there again, but pay off the debt or put the 20% down onto another house.
All right. So what to do with the proceeds of the house? I say it needs to go towards the debt. Pay the debt off.
Okay.
Get rid of it. Get out of your life and start rebuilding. You automatically already have $600 a month. Start rebuilding your savings towards your next 20% down on your next home. I wouldn't get into a next home until you have 20% down so you can avoid PMI, and then get a 15-year mortgage. That 15-year mortgage payment should not be any more than 25% of your monthly take home. So don't get too much house. If it's you need big more square footage because of four kids, you got to get an older home and maybe not quite as nice of a neighborhood. But I like getting the debt out of your life. Use the proceeds. Hopefully it's $60,000 and not $50,000 in proceeds so that you can have $10,000 in your account.
Yeah, I think it actually is. I think it would be $60,000 for sure, at least. So.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you rebounded from a really bad housing experience, and then you guys did it really, really well. Well done. And I hear the drive in your voice. You guys are going to be rocking it.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate. Well, of course, you guys heard the same thing I heard. You heard the drive and the intensity in her voice. Man, she was going to win with money. She had learned. I know what that feeling's like. Oh, no, I'm not going to be on the wrong side of this again. And you definitely could hear it in her voice. Well, thank you so much, folks, for your phone calls and your emails today. Let's stay connected on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. At Chris Brown on Air. And be sure to fully leverage the tremendous resource of stewardship.com. We mentioned that website several times throughout the episode on purpose because it is amazing. So make sure you check it out and check out the Chris Recommends section. Until next time, Let's do our very best to steward this life in a way that makes God smile. God bless you.